Hello.
Hello.
Welcome, everybody, anybody who has showed up for the first pilot of our live Help Me Rocks show, starring me, Rocks of Spaz House, and my co-hosts.
My name is Aaron Poole. Hey. I don't know. I was startled by this.
And John of the Unique Geek. Say hi, John.
Hey. I'm manning the board, so I'm busy.
Okay.
Okay. Well, John, we are going overboard.
And we're here to help you. We know that this is a dangerous and cruel world, and sometimes you don't have time to go to the internet and type in your questions and figure out where I should get help. Sometimes you can't stand the cues that are on the radio self-help type radio stations. So that's why we're here, because you know what? We're drinking and giving out advice. Isn't that right, Aaron?
It is. I am currently pouring myself a new drink as you say this. But I, as I said before, a problem shared is a problem doubled. And I think if nothing else, we can at the very least shed some... I was going to say new light, but probably some darkness too on whatever problem you have. Lots of darkness. And, you know, at the very least, hopefully you can laugh about it and we can all move on with our lives. Because at the moment, there's too much moaning going on in the world. So, you know, let's fix some of it. Ladies.
And if you want to call in to this number, 888-665-8825.
Yes, ding. We will make a jingle to this eventually.
Yes, eventually. So,
Well, while we're waiting, Rox, did you want to go ahead and take your first pre-call call?
Yeah, we'll take the first pre-call.
Our first message.
Let's go ahead and, since we're already mentioned that we're drinking, let's go ahead and start with this one.
Well, hello, everyone. Apparently I'm your favorite drunken caller, Scott White. Calling to leave you a message, and please, Rox, help me. My question is, how can I control my drinking? The major problem is I want to do more of it. Where can I substitute times of day to do the drinking instead of, you know, on the weekends, which I will call everyone on my list to give a drunk voicemail. So help me, Rox. Bye.
Well, Scott, if you want to become a drunk, all throughout the day, it's kind of easy because there's certain ways you can hide your drinking. You know, as long as you're not drinking and driving. Okay. We'll stipulate that because, you know, what we give out is advice for entertainment purposes. That's our caveat. So, if you're drinking early in the morning, look for your favorite mouthwashes. Hold on. I've got one right here, such as something from CVS. See, right here. It has alcohol in it. During your mid-morning snack, go find those really great chocolates with liqueur in it. That'll carry you over till lunch. Over to you, Aaron. What should he have for lunch?
I was going to say, morning thing you can do is a lot of antiperspirants have alcohol in it. Because sometimes some people are allergic to that and you have to get alcohol-free deodorants. So look, keep an eye out for that. I think it's roll-on stuff. But also as well as, first of all, let's go back to what he said at the start of the call. You're not my favorite drunken caller, sir, so don't make that presumption.
Sir, you are mine.
No. Well, yeah, but, you know, not everybody's. You know, you got to be some, he must have been drunk, really drunk, all right, to consider himself everybody's favorite, because only a certain level of drunkenness makes you think you're the center of the universe. But I would say...
How drunk do you need to be the center of the universe? How many drinks does it take to be the center of the universe?
Well, it all depends on body mass. It's like everything. You know, they have that BMI scale where you're supposed to be a certain weight due to your height and all that kind of stuff, what they recommend you should be. I think there's probably a recommended like drunkenness scale of how much you weigh and how much you can take alcohol-wise. Because, I mean, a skinny guy like myself doesn't have a lot of places to put it away. So, you know, I can't be drinking beer all day because I'll fill up. And then I won't be able to keep drinking.
So you need the hard liquor.
I go on the hard liquor very early. I go on to the shots of Jägermeister and stuff like that to make sure I can get drunk before needing to pee every 5 minutes.
I've just had a licorice whip.
But yeah, I suppose if you want to drink more, everybody does the hip flask thing. You can pretty much hide that in, like, you know, your shirt pocket or you know, your jeans pocket or whatever. You just got to make sure that you put, like, you know, petrol or rubbing alcohol in there rather than normal.
I think those like Benaca Mists and Listerine has those little sprays that you could actually just spray alcohol in.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that'll keep you going for quite a while.
And everyone will just think you've got really bad breath.
Yeah.
But you'll end up having really bad breath from spraying.
Unless you're using creme de menthe.
That's true.
And then you have that minty, alcohol-y type thing, and you can actually use that. Well, okay, we won't go there, but, you know, you can just tell people you just had a breath mint.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend putting something creamy like Bailey's in there, because that probably wouldn't work well with a spray.
Well, yeah, because it'll get all gummy, so you need something fine, a fine mist, because that's what that does. Let's see, so you have that, then your lunch hour. What do you think to tide them over?
Well, you could have a bottle of Coca-Cola, but have, you know, vodka in there with the Coke, so people think you're just drinking a normal bottle of Coke, but you're actually drinking, you know, vodka and Coke,
or
whatever you choose. Yeah, or a thermos.
It hides. It hides all sorts of things in that.
He said he wanted to control his drinking as well, though, which sounds like he's having a problem.
Pacing. No, I think he meant pacing.
Okay, I thought he meant like he couldn't quite get into his mouth.
No, I think it's because he wants to be a, you know, start early and continue instead of holding off all of his drinking for the weekend. If you listen to the full message,
do you want to listen to it again?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Okay. Play that again.
Well, hello everyone. Apparently, I'm your favorite drunken caller, Scott.
Aaron, is that true?
No.
Wait,
you're not my friend. I have many drunken callers that I like.
Leave a message,
you, sir,
and,
will have to
please,
fight for their
please,
further.
Please, help me. My question is, how can I control my drinking? The major problem is I want to do more of it. Where can I substitute times of day to do this drinking instead of, you know, on the weekends, which I will call everyone on my list to give a drunk voicemail. So help me, Rocks. Bye.
See, it's a continuous early morning pacing.
I thought he was not getting enough in because he was missing all the time.
I think if he paces himself, he can stay at a buzz level throughout the day.
But he wants to get more drunk.
Yeah, but then he won't get work done, and then he'll get fired, and then he will be homeless, and then, unfortunately, he'll be like a hobo and think he can join my hobo army. And I'm sorry, Scott, you just can't make it.
Yeah, well, you do have to
afford. So we need to help you keep your job and drink, because I really don't want you in my hobo army.
I can't look after you.
I can't look after all the hobos. Sorry. You have to pull your weight somehow. So I think, you know, that whole, say the.
Yeah,
so
you're not supposed to read what's on the page.
I, you know, this is our first shot. Prompter.
We're only recording like 2 minutes. We've already called it out before.
888-665-8825. For help now, so give us a call. We've got nothing to do.
Also, another suggestion: if you get like one of the, you know, the sippy cup, not the sippy cups. What would you call those? Like,
yeah, there you go. As you're in your stroller, Scott. Just kidding.
No, I mean the styrofoam cups. You know, the ones you get at like a restaurant or like a takeaway, like fast food places.
Yeah,
you could totally fill that up with booze.
Big gulps. But I think if you do it covertly, you know, sticking with your liqueurs and stuff, even though some liqueurs taste really nasty, I think you can, you know, because eventually you'll smell the beer if that's what you're going to go with. So anyway, give us a call, 888 665-8825. Give us a call. I know you have.
You couldn't get us a 666, John? You couldn't get us a 666? Really?
Be happy you got that number.
Okay.
You'll have that number, and you will be happy with it.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we do have another call if you wish to take one of the pre-recorded calls.
Please, sir. May I have another?
Sure.
All right. And here we go.
Hey, Rox. It's me, the cynical 12-year-old, and I need help talking to girls.
That's the end of the conversation.
Oh, okay. Hi, cynical 12-year-old kid.
I don't buy that he's 12. His voice was way too
Did
deep
you
for 12.
Hear that? No, that was 12. That was that prepubescent 12.
I don't know.
That's the sound. That is.
Play that again, John.
Okay, hold on one second. Let's see. Looking for that half-assed engineer. Hold on.
Hey, Rox, it's me, the cynical 12-year-old, and I need help talking to girls.
It is. It's 12.
I'm saying 14.
14? Yeah, I'm saying close to 14, 15.
Either way, that's like awkward years.
I'm not
watched, you know, Boy Meets World because it's an old show now, and that kid that was on that show is now like 40.
Yeah. But we're going to give him advice that will help him whether he is 40 or whether he's 14. I think
yes.
We can give him advice that will help him for girls of all ages.
All ages.
All ages. Which is don't run away. Be gay. It's way easier, I'm told. So, you know.
You could double your wardrobe that way. Depending. I've heard.
I never thought of that. It's a very good idea. But yes, so it doesn't get any easier. I'll tell you that now. It doesn't. Really, come on now, Rox. Women are just as scary when you're old, when you're young.
Oh my God, wait till you're in a nursing home. And guess what? It's just like high school all over again. That's what I heard.
That old geezer down the hall bullying you.
You know what? There's cool tables, and or they call them able tables, and then there's the not cool tables at nursing homes. Yep.
Is coolness just based on mobility, is it?
No. Well, a cool table in a nursing home are people who are ambulatory. They have all of their faculties, and they hear. So they'll put people that have hard of hearing together, so they scream at each other. That's what I heard.
Geez.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, I would say.
Okay, what is the best pickup line? I mean, they say the best quote pickup line is just saying hello, isn't it?
Yeah. I think the best way to do it is just to find a way to start a conversation that isn't just going to end in yes or no. Like you can't like say, how's your day? She just goes, fine. And that's the end of that. You have to actually genuinely ask a question that's going to make her want to say more than like two syllables. So if you go like, if just say, for example, you're queuing to go into a gig, just go like, you know, oh, hey, have you ever seen the band before? You
and
know,
they'll say yes or no.
But you can kind of judge. There's plenty of that she could reply with that. Yeah, I saw them before last year. I really liked it. Blah blah blah. If she wants to talk to you, she will talk to you with something like that. So you got to find a way that, like, small talk is lame. If you say like, you know, oh, crap weather we're having.
Yeah.
That's as far.
Everyone has a weather app. Just so you know, everyone has a weather app. So don't do weather. Do not do weather.
Rox, if I may, how does he get up the courage to go ask, though, I guess, or go up to a girl and talk to her?
Grow a pair. There's no advice you can give for that. You know what I mean? There is no advice. You can't tell someone to suddenly be brave.
No.
Because you're either going to do it or you're not.
This is true. Now, cynical 12-year-old, as I pointed out, in the Weekend Justice podcast, that I've started doing this thing where saying stuff with conviction really helps. Also, I've started just talking to people. I've been going up to people like in airports, and I'd just start talking to them like I knew them. Now, you don't have to go to that extreme, but a good test is you're in a store or something, and you ask somebody, you know, something about, you know, not a sales clerk really, but, you know, somebody around you, like, oh my gosh, did you just see that lady trip and fall? And then, you know, that sort of gives you
the don't trip up a lady just to create that conversation.
Exactly.
Though.
But, you know, just start engaging people around you. You know, it could be old, you know, just, you know, use older people if you want to, just to start out with being comfortable with talking to just general people. I think a lot of people are just sort of disconnected from, you know, everyday life sometimes. And as being a 12-year-old in, the middle school or junior high?
Or college. If you are where I expect you are.
Here's the thing. Just start talking to girls in general. Not necessarily the one you want to date, but just start talking to people. You know, and
I think that's good advice, because
starting to run for class elections or something. But, you know,
I think if you have a couple of female friends, it's way easier to find a girlfriend after that, because if you're just talking to a couple of uggos, you know, let's call them what they are. If you're talking to a couple of fat girls, it's the other girls won't have a problem talking to you, because they know you're not a weirdo, because other girls will talk to you. That's right. Does that make sense? If you get, it's getting a ball rolling. You know, it's hard to get it started, but once you get it started, it's not going to stop from there. So I would say if you have a hobby, and I know this sounds really lame, but if there's a club that you can join where there's going to be girls there, say if you like art, join an art class where there's going to be girls, or music or whatever. And if they have, like we were saying before, if you find a way to have a conversation that if you can ask a question that they can talk to you a lot about, hobbies and stuff like that are a great way to start it. Because, you know, if you go, oh, I really like this painting, and she's into painting, then
rated
she's going to yap your head off. What was that?
Hello?
John?
I think that was our musical interlude. Oh, so join Glee Club or something.
Sorry, I had you on mute.
Oh.
Apparently,
like a Western started in the middle of the fucking podcast.
So, yeah, cynical 12.
Be a cowboy.
Yes. Don't carry around a six-shooter in school. That's bad. But, you know.
But yeah, no, girls hate guys who talk about themselves all the time. So just ask questions.
Yeah, always ask about them. And then eventually you'll get the girl that'll actually say stuff like ask you questions.
Yeah, because if you ask them a question and then use it immediately as a way of telling a story about yourself, ooh, they're going to hate you.
Yeah. But so, you don't sound like that. You don't sound like that.
Yes, 12-year-old boy who we heard two sentences from. You sound way cooler than that. We know you so well. We go way back. But no, I mean, yeah, it's ask a lot of questions, but ask questions that you know you can get a good answer from. So do a little bit of homework. If you know she's into something, ask her a question about that. Yeah. It's not so creepy when you actually eventually do plan to talk to her and not just follow her everywhere. Yeah. But yes, I say this coming from, you know, the place of obvious sex god that I come from, because I know so much about women. All I need is an accent in America. That's, you know, that gets me by. I'm Irish and I'm in America. That's laughing. But here it's not so easy because I'm in Ireland.
Also, since you listen to Weekend Justice, cynical 12-year-old, I'm guessing, you like genre stuff such as sci-fi and stuff like that. Here's also something you may want to try too, is if your parents will let you go to a small sci-fi convention. A small one, not like Dragon Con or something, but something small that you're going to see people who have your interests. And that is another way of at least talking to other people, because some of the smaller ones also mimic kind of the Dragon Con formula of having panels and discussions and stuff that you can actually open up and ask questions to panelists and stuff. And from there, you can talk to the people around you about what your interests are. It really works, you know.
But it really is like it's something simple as if she's not interested in the same things you are, going up and talking to her is not going to be easy.
Right.
So yes. It's I mean, even, you know, when I'm 27 and if I try and go up to talk to a girl at a bar, unless she's interested in the same things I am, the conversation's not going to last for very long and I'm going to walk away. Yeah. It's just pointless. So it's you kind of have to know whether or not you have something to talk to her about. If not, don't go up and chat to her. Just don't go up and talk to someone if you know there's nothing to talk about. So if you say, oh, I see she likes this band because she's wearing a t-shirt from this band, then go up and talk to her about that band. But otherwise, don't bother.
But here's the thing. Here's like maybe a little clue in for that. If she likes a particular band, sort of Google a little bit more about the band so you just don't go, oh, hey, do you like them? Find out something odd about them that she might not
did you
know
sort of thing.
Did you know? Yeah. That, you know, Jimi Hendrix scaled the Geiger Pass or something.
But is it awkward then that if she just goes, yes, I did know that? And you're like, oh.
At least say it with conviction.
Make something up. Then,
make
therefore,
something else. Yeah.
She can't know it because it wasn't true.
Yes.
And if she calls you a liar, then you can go, well, fuck you, bitch, and then run away really fast.
Throwing Skittles so when she runs after you, she'll trip on them.
Pull her hair, kick her in the shins, call her a bitch and run away. Works every time.
I hope that helps.
That's a problem solved. Next problem, John.
All right. Let's keep on the theme of love and get this one here.
Message from...
Prefer not to give my name? Hi, Rox and company. I prefer not to give my name. My problem is with my fiancé. First of all, and this is a bit awkward, he used to be my boss, but when we got engaged, I stopped working for him. Then, very unexpectedly, on our wedding day, I found out he has a crazy wife he keeps locked in the attic. Should I stay on and become his mistress, or should I flee and face the prospect of a boring, loveless life? I really appreciate y'all's help with this. Thank you. Bye.
All right, girlfriend. Guess what? There's tabloids. I would exploit this situation to the most amount of money you can get.
Yep. I'm going to guess that only part of that's true.
Which part?
I want to believe the whole thing is true. And, you know, I hope you work out really well up in Rochester, New York.
Well, see, the thing is, if he's locking this woman up in the attic, he's obviously not his favorite wife, or she's obviously not his favorite wife. So therefore,
maybe
you,
she has a lot of money,
and that, so he's living off whatever benefits she's getting or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go, ticket to ride, go for it.
All right, here's the thing: you have a lawsuit. So you started an affair while you were working with him. You can hold that over him later on as harassment. Okay? That's really good. So from there, when you marry him, you can always keep a diary of the weird stuff going on and call in Amnesty International. Isn't that what you would do?
I don't know if that's they're too big a company to bring in for, you know, marriage problems. I don't know if you necessarily call the UNICEF or the UN to solve my marriage dispute. But in fairness, I mean, I don't know what state she said y'all, so I'm assuming it's a southern state. Is it illegal to,
it is illegal
to have two wives?
Yes. Yeah.
Because I know in Utah you can do it, right?
Yeah.
No.
No? Is that just a rumor?
I don't know what your impression of the United States is, but no.
Okay, just checking. World law is a complicated thing. But I don't know. I mean, like, I'm assuming people don't know she's still alive if she's been locked in an attic for for so many years. So, I mean, she could be presumed dead. You could be fine. This could not be a problem. I would check out the legal status of that marriage.
Right.
Before making any hasty decisions. And this guy can still be a keeper.
Yeah, if anything, you can get a really good book out of this. And you'll
true,
be on the
movie.
Today Show. You'll make the whole tour. You know, you'll cry a little bit. You'll be crying at the bank.
But I don't know. I mean, if she's locked in the attic,
at least
I don't think she's
going
to be a problem. Fish heads, I'm assuming. But yeah, just I assume she's not a part of his day-to-day life. I don't think he'll notice she's there. If you don't mind the odd howling in the middle of the night, I don't think this will really affect your life too much. I say go for it. But I'm all about love. I'm a romantic at heart.
Yeah, but she's afraid that it'll be a loveless marriage, which means what? Are you afraid that he'll lock you up in the attic as well? Take out an insurance policy? Because he can't bring himself to murdering you? Is that it? You know, that is kind of strange. Why didn't he just kill the wife off? That's kind of weird.
Well, she's unless assuming she's it would be loveless.
Right.
It could be full of love. It could it be the could most be. Loving marriage ever.
Yeah.
Who are you to judge, lady? Sitting up there on your pedestal, looking down your nose at a woman locked in the attic. Why do you think you're so special, huh? What a bitch.
Yeah, plus you started out as what, a secretary?
What well, she said he was a supervisor.
What skills did you have? Oh, well, okay, supervisor. What, at a factory?
Or assistant what, manager or
making
something.
Making widgets?
I assume she works at McDonald's.
Up in the world, so you know, I would start writing flower. Oh my gosh, you could be the next VC Andrews, and write a new series of Flowers in the Attic, where in this story you could be having the affair with the crazy wife up in the attic, if you don't mind that lesbian twist, which you know could be popular in new books. So either way, I think this is a win-win situation for you.
I think you could get a typewriter and put it up into the attic and let the woman up there be the new Anne Frank and to write her own diary of being stuck in an attic. And then you could make more money off her being trapped up there because you could just write at the end and then I died at the end.
You discovered so, this new script.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Or you could just claim you made it up.
Of course,
but, you know, everyone will talk about how real it all is.
All right. Yeah, I know. But here's the problem with that is... For all we know, she might be typing Red Rum over and over and over again. So have a backup and write your own story about the woman upstairs in the
all work and no play makes Jill a dull girl.
I'd like to introduce go on to our next segment, which is dumb questions from the internet. Rocks.
Oh, okay.
If you don't mind. This one was found on Yahoo Answers, which of course is where you get Yahoo Answers, I guess. First off, where can I buy a really big jar of peanut butter?
How big?
I can't ask them. They're not here.
Uh-oh.
A really big.
From a bear in the woods.
Yeah, you just steal it.
That's it.
You might have to, yeah. You might have to fight for the pot of peanut butter.
Oh my gosh! No! Oh no! Forget that. What you need to do is volunteer at a school, okay? And as a volunteer, ask to work in the cafeteria. Now, the cafeterias will have the industrial size, giant vats of peanut butter that they will serve to the wretched little children every day. So just make sure your car is parked close to the school, and on the day that you're volunteering, you can just cart one of those puppies right out. What do you think?
Just make sure you don't grab the coleslaw bucket.
Oh,
that would be enough fun.
Yeah, because that's a lot of coleslaw for anybody to eat. Do they even serve coleslaw to kids? I don't even think kids would eat coleslaw.
If I'm going by what I've seen in movies, which we all know are fact, yes, they do. And sometimes rub it on their own faces.
What? Okay, what movie is that from?
I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure I've seen it more than once. Oh, Never Being Kissed is a movie where they have a giant bucket of coleslaw and a guy eats the whole bucket in one sitting. There you go. There's a Drew Barrymore movie from the past.
I don't remember that. Ooh. But anyway, yeah, volunteer.
It was David Arquette, so who cares?
And here's another thing. If you're really into beets, you can get a big bat of beets.
Who is really into beets?
I love beets.
Dr. Dre? Oh, wait.
You just have to remember, if you make, like, juice from beets and stuff, a day later, just know you're not bleeding internally. Just saying. It turns all your innards purple red.
Yeah, I will never do that, but thank you for that advice.
Hey, I'm here to help.
I don't think I could ever eat anything that color. I think anything like that vivid a color, I think everything needs to be a little bit like kind of a dullish gray.
Oh, paste.
Yeah, like mashed potatoes. If anything was like the color of mashed potatoes, I think I'd be okay with that.
Okay.
Also along the same lines, continuing in our dumb questions from the internet segment, is it possible to feel like a sandwich?
Yes.
At DragonCon, yes, on an elevator. Yeah. Crowded
up. Also on some kinky situations. I'll let your imagination do the talking there, but yes, it is possible. Not always pleasant, though. That's the thing.
If it's like a cold morning and you put cold cream on, that could be like mayonnaise. Like you're a cold cut.
Yes.
That was a weird question.
In our theme of drinking and eating sensations, I suppose. I just drank a tall glass of lemonade and it made me more thirsty. Am I pregnant?
Remember, kissing doesn't make you pregnant.
Also, sitting on toilet seats does not make you pregnant either. Unless someone's already on the toilet seat when you sit on it. I never heard of being very thirsty as a pregnancy.
You may want to watch your diabetic levels, though.
That's true.
Wow, just got real in here.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, but it is very true. If you're thirsty all the time and you can't quench that thirst, you're either on ecstasy or you have diabetes. It's two possibilities.
There you go. But you're not pregnant.
No.
Well, as far as you know.
As far as I know. Or as far as Aaron knows. Because he didn't date her.
Or it wasn't in the room with her. I have been known to get people pregnant just by being in the same room as them.
Why would anyone, it's like, why use a wives' tale of, if you're drinking lemonade, wondering if you're pregnant? Why don't you just, pregnancy tests are cheap now. Just run out and get one.
Just pee in a stick and show it to somebody. They might be able to tell.
Yes, make sure it's cedar, because cedar sort of stains quicker.
Here, sniff this. Am I pregnant? That works. Facts.
Oh my God. You know what? On a weird note, I knew this weird photographer guy that he swore that his superpower, if you want to call it that, or mutant power, was he knew when women were pregnant by photographing them because of some. He senses their glow or something. And it's like, okay, that's really kind of creepy to tell me on a first date.
Well, how far gone are they? Because if they're 8 months pregnant, I think it's pretty easy to tell.
Oh, yeah. I think it was early on. He said he sensed them when they're not showing.
There's a thing on TV shows, when actresses get pregnant and they don't want to, they want to continue acting but not pretend that their character isn't pregnant.
They're behind a counter.
Yeah, they're always holding books and stuff. But I've been able to tell over the years if they're pregnant or not because something happens with their jowls or just around their cheeks and around their jawline, it gets puffy when they're pregnant. Like the rest of their face can look exactly the same, but just that inflates. And I'm assuming it's because of months of throwing up in the mornings or something like that creates that kind of bloated look. But yeah, there's
about
a way you can
like
tell.
A month. I think it's only a first month, isn't it?
Isn't?
Yeah.
I don't know. And I haven't been pregnant before, so I can tell.
From throwing up, because all that force going to the front of your head. That'll do it.
All right,
and don't eat spinach if you're pregnant, because that would also make you more pregnant.
Yeah.
What?
All that iron.
Facts, John. Facts. Scientific facts. I can't really explain it. It's science. But, you know.
So you become more pregnant, even though you are pregnant? So you might get multiple from. So you might have a spinach baby?
No, you just have more of a baby. It's science, folks. I'm sorry, but, you know.
Wait a minute. Okay. How much do you have more of a baby? Like, is it bigger? Is it Popeye?
No, it's just more there. You're more pregnant. It's like when you go to 11 and it's one louder. It's just you're more pregnant. It's just whatever baby there was, it's there more. Because you know when babies are like, it's like that thing from Back to the Future where he has
50%
the photograph.
More.
Yeah. But he has that photograph and like his brothers and sister is like, you know, fading out of the picture.
Right.
When he plays Johnny B. Good, that's what happens when you eat spinach. You're just more pregnant. There's more of you there. Because babies are see-through. Look it up in
babies
biology.
Are see-through. Oh, wow. I like that one.
Yeah.
Remember,
John?
In Ireland, everything is different. we have one more call-in that we have, a message that we have, rather. Something like that. Have things stuff. Here we go. This is from Bill.
Message from?
Bill. Dear Help Me Rocks. How are you? I am fine. I am now a proud owner of a house with a wet bar. As I am trying to stock it, I would like to know what alcohols you would suggest I keep on the bar at all times. Thank you. Love, Mighty Bill.
Hey, Mighty Bill. Congratulations on your house.
How did your bar get wet? Do you have a leak?
That's what they call it here.
Oh, okay. Why don't you just call it like a bar? Is there more than one type of bar?
I think the bar...
I think a wet bar opposed to a bar is you would have like...
A bar, the elephant.
Right here. it's sort of like a little table. Well, this is mine. Little table.
Okay.
And, you know, where you have stuff that you could mix... You know, a fair number of drinks, but I'm guessing his wet bar probably is around the size of maybe Lee's wet bar.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm guessing.
Which, for those who don't know, is the size of Antigua.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there's no way, you know, the person you really should call is Lee. However, I think Aaron and I can try to cobble you some stuff up. So,
Rox? Rox, real quick, sorry to disturb you, but just because we're in the business of helping people, I do want to clarify. The difference between a wet bar and a dry bar is a wet bar has plumbing. A dry bar does not have plumbing. Lee's bar is a dry bar.
It's a dry bar.
Much like my bar here in the background is a dry bar.
So this is a dry bar.
Right,
minus.
Correct.
And a wet bar.
Okay,
wow,
so he's got like beer on tap
to
then.
You. Yay. Get beer on tap.
Impressive.
That thing.
Yeah,
yes,
it also means
you.
He can
most
clean his dishes, clean his glasses after he's done, too, right there.
Wow. We're going to go
now,
at your house at Dragon Con.
What happens if we find out that Mighty Bill doesn't actually have these things, and he's been calling it a wet bar, and it's not really a wet bar, it's a dry bar? We're going to break his heart.
After we drink his alcohol.
Because we can also offer now kegs. We can advise him on kegs to hook his wet bar up to now that we know it has that.
That's true. Oh my gosh, you can get those pumps.
Yeah, get some cider. Get some cider in there. Cider.
So we're guessing you have like a mini fridge, Bill. So stock up on some cider, which is good. Let's see.
I saw that eye roll, Rox. You got a webcam on. Don't roll your eyes about your cider like that.
So, you want stuff to mix drinks. So here's some like Seagram's 7, Crown. last night, while the Gold Rush show was on, Lee and I talked about earlier about cheap scotch. This is cheap scotch that you could mix into the Dirt and Desperation drink.
You've got to tell them what it is because they can't see
it. It's called Scoresby. It's horrible. It, even though it says very rare, it's very bad. It's just, it's a mixy type of whiskey scotch. Yeah, bad. Your rums, you need a light rum. Like, what's a good light rum? Bacardi. Bacardi's good. It's a light rum. Kraken rum for dark. It's good with your Lumberjack's monocle, which is with chai tea. Let's see. I like absinthe in my bar. That's what I've got. I have this
vodka.
Absinthe. No, that's absinthe.
No, should we advise
yeah, vodka,
on the vodka?
Yeah, you know, there's a whole myriad. You may want, I think Lee suggests having a cheap vodka in your bar, as well as that's for mixing, and then a good vodka that you would make really good martinis with. Absinthe is good. Make sure you have your slotted spoon for sugar. Sugar cubes have on hand. Also have on hand simple syrup. If you can't make it, you can buy it. See, it's in a little jar. It's tall and slender. Let's see. What else? What would you put in your magic bar, Aaron?
I would put in Jägermeister just because I'm a fiend for the stuff. I suppose you could also put in something like
gin. Yes, if you're a gin drinker, gin's good.
Yeah, I mean, quite a common thing as well is something like Bailey's, like a kind of a cream.
Right. Liqueurs, creme de menthe for Scott, when Scott White comes around and he wants to keep that steady buzz because he's got to go off to work.
And a port's not too bad. A port's actually not so bad to have around every now and again, just for something to sit on at the end of the night.
Sherry, have some sherry.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing, Bill. Don't, because you just bought your house, buy in small increments. Start out with your stuff that you know you'll mix. So your whiskeys and your rums. That's a good, don't you think? Good mixing stuff. Just a couple.
Once you open a bottle, what's the shelf life? I mean, because like if you open, say, like a whiskey, I mean, can that sit there forever with just the lid closed, or is that going to slowly go off then once you've opened it?
You know, I don't know. I have this bottle of cognac that is like ancient. So
Tennessee.
Let's try this. Hold on.
Nice. It's a large enough bottle too.
Oh my God, it's flat.
See?
Oh my God.
So you've got to prepare for what you'll use a lot over what can last a long time if you don't drink it.
Yeah. And that was 80 proof. There's like no kick to this. Wow. Now you know. I have I got this from somebody. So yeah, this cognac went bad. How weird.
And how long have you had that for?
I don't know. 15 years.
Okay.
I don't know where I got it. Somebody, one of those parties that you wind up getting, you know, people drop stuff off. That's another thing, Bill. Throw yourself a party a couple times out of the year so that people will bring alcohol and forget it.
Throw yourself a party. Invite the podcasters.
Yeah.
Let us get drunk.
And we'll all bring something. And, you know, it'd be too much trouble to drag it back home. So there you go. It's an easy way of getting alcohol. Or if you want, just throw yourself an alcohol party and it'll all be housewarming gifts. You know, instead of getting that odd candlestick that everybody will bring during your housewarming party, just ask for, you know, alcohol of some form.
But hey, but be aware that some drinks should be chilled as well. So, you know, having things sitting on a bar isn't always good for the alcohol. Like,
right.
Say, for example, vodka really should be chilled. It shouldn't really be sitting out. like
yeah. So having a small refrigerator freezer right near your bar, which I'm sure you'll have electricity. Get yourself a mini fridge.
Yep.
Yeah, coasters. Get a coaster too.
I do have to ask something about something you said a minute ago, which is an odd candlestick. Do you just randomly get people dropping candlesticks off at your house?
My sister, her sister-in-law, when they got married, apparently wound up getting candlesticks for their wedding. They got like, I don't know, 6 pair and then an odd one of candlesticks for gifts. Nobody gave them anything useful except for candlesticks. And then there was this lone one. It's weird. Wasn't even like a or something.
You usually get a lot of frames as well. I find people give frames a lot.
Yeah. Like,
you know. But these days nobody prints out photographs anyway, so it's kind of awkward.
Is your sister's brother or husband's name named Jack?
No.
I was just wondering if he was nimble.
I think quick. So. He's a marathon runner guy.
Is there any butchers and bakers in the family as well?
Butchers, yes.
Perhaps
candy That's all I'll say. Cheers, yes.
So is that all our messages this evening, John?
I think that is all of our messages this evening. Did we want to try and solve a world problem?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. We want a world problem.
Okay.
I live in the world, so why not?
So
and don't let it be about Berlusconi. I have no help for that man.
No, no, no. I was going to mention that, as you know, the euro and Europe is having financial problems. How would you solve that?
Oh, man. Well,
what would Susie Orman do?
Oh, my gosh. Well, Susie has a lot of money. She's certainly not going to give it to Greece. As we know, I mentioned this once before, that I think Greece's main export is... myths. And the myth right now is that they have money.
Well, I would say kick out a bunch of countries, first of all. I'd say, you know, Greece isn't really in Europe. I mean, whoever thought that Greece was part of Europe? Greece is part of the Mediterranean.
It's in the Mediterranean, yeah.
Yeah. So, first of all, let's cut out countries who claim they're European but aren't really. So, fuck them.
Well, there was a problem. There honestly was a problem with the European Union from the get-go, right? I mean, Great Britain did not want to be part of it.
No, and Great Britain, it doesn't have the euro coinage. They still kept their own pounds.
Right.
Because they were like, fuck you guys, we want the Queen on our notes.
And you guys didn't?
Well, we never had the Queen on our notes. John. One of these days.
You had that Michael Collins on your money, right?
We may have, actually. We may have had him on one of them. I know we had a nun on our £5 notes.
Really? What nun?
I don't know if he was a particularly special nun, but we had a nun on us. I can't remember her name now.
Heard of the Magdalene sisters.
She was like, she was in school as well. She was like a school teaching nun too.
Mother Therese, Mother Seton?
No, Julie Andrews, I think.
Oh, okay.
So we changed over just because we were like, oh my god, we're part of Europe. And we were all super excited because we're tiny in comparison to most of the countries. And they gave us a lot of money at start. Now, not so much. Now they want money from us. So it's a little bit awkward, but, no, I'd kick out the countries that are faking it, that aren't really European. I'd also kick out the countries that speak Italian, which would be
Italy.
I think just the one. just because, you know, they're not playing ball.
Well, okay, what about Portugal? Portugal only has, you know, Dresden.
Well, China. I think Spain should take them over.
And
you know,
but
therefore.
Now, why? Because they speak Portuguese.
Yeah, but at the same time, they're kind of, you know, funny, and tanned. I don't know, just They're similar enough. I reckon they could take them over and there wouldn't be too much hassle. I'm bypassing, like, you know, thousands of years of history. But, you know, it'd be fine. I'm okay with it. They should be too.
Right.
We should throw out all islands, I think. So, apart from our own.
So Malta goes.
Malta goes.
I realized Ireland was spared in the island.
Well, it's a big island. Malta's small. Yeah. Ireland's the little big. Ones.
The twiddly ones can go.
Gibraltar.
Well, yeah, like
that's
any
just
kind
a rock.
Of at least. Yeah, we cut them off. We'll bring up a big wall that will go around the edge of Europe.
Actually, here's something.
Perhaps you should put it right through a city in Germany.
Okay, here's what they should do. Is do a big tax off of Monaco. You know, add an extra tax for, you know, the big gamblers that go to Monaco and play Baccarat, which I do not understand. Anybody that plays that game, you know, that you saw in any Bond film is totally
a fascist.
Is a fascist, so they should be taxed extra because they probably have one of those mega yachts sitting out in the water. So charge those people. I was watching a show, oddly enough, today about Sweden. During the time of the French Revolution, Sweden was close to having its own revolution when the peasants were making aquavit, which is sort of their version of vodka. And uh-huh. here's the interesting part was the king of Sweden knew that all the food came from the poor and the peasants and the worker people, that he allowed the peasants and stuff to make a certain amount of aquavit for themselves and maybe small amount for selling, and he taxed the rich. What do you know? Way back in the 1700s, taxing the rich. So
it'll never work.
No, it'll never work. It worked back then. I mean, and oddly enough, it suppressed a revolution in Sweden, which occurred around the same time as the French Revolution.
Well, I mean, at the moment, Germany seems to be running the European Union because they're the only ones that aren't in shite. And it's kind of fascinating how, like, 60 years later, they somehow managed to rule Europe with an iron fist. But who knew economics would do it for them rather than just, like, shooting people.
Well, this is true, especially when you consider when all of Germany melded back in, they were worried that they would have a really hard, which they did have a hardship for some time. And then, you know, they managed to really become a really good economic powerhouse.
It's because they're very efficient in everything they do.
Yeah, I mean, oddly enough, Angela Merkel is a pretty decent despotic ruler, I guess. She gets along really well with Sarkozy. That's the funny thing. It's like the papers make fun of their, like, little relationship because she's just so stern looking, and he's like, "I've got a sexy young wife and stuff." They get along really well, which is, you know. And the thing is France is not doing so great either. So, you know, and now you have Italy.
Well, pretty much nobody is doing well apart from Germany.
No. Personally, I think all of the economy of the world, it's all on paper. It's like if you look at your 401k and stuff, I don't know what you have, but it's like fake money anyway until you know, it's not concrete until you're 80 years old and you can draw on it, you know. So right now it's just numbers. So I don't think anybody knows how much money is really in Fort Knox and stuff. So we can't solve that problem. Just take away all the crappy little, you know, what Aaron said, drop some.
We can't solve the problem without mass genocide, I think is the answer to that. So until mass genocide becomes an okay option, I think we're going to have to put up with people owing us money.
Yes. And every, well, you know, the funny thing is people owe us, I think, what, John, isn't it Germany finally paid off World War One or Two?
Since I'm not big on facts, sure.
All right. Okay.
I will.
They're already they're already saving up for World War Three, though. So any day now, fingers crossed.
Yes, and I just handed you. That's all.
Fact. Remember, folks, don't bother looking up these facts. Just accept them.
Yes, we say it with conviction.
Yes, because you know it's true.
It's true.
True. Do 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 do. So yeah, so that's our first Help Me Rocks podcast, which I hope we helped people with.
Yes, I do too. In a humorous and funny way.
Or at the very least, a way to promote mass genocide.
Only from the Irish does this come from.
This has been a production of needcoffee.com in association with The Unique Geek and the website of Doom. To leave a message for Rocks, call 888-665-8825. For more podcasts, movie reviews, contests, and pop culture news, visit needcoffee.com.
Africa, this Christmas time. Oh, oh, no rain, no wind, snow. Feed the world.
All right, 1 minute
let
counting.
That's fine.
Christmas time, feed the world. Let them blow, it's Christmas time at home, even if they're Jewish.
No. And I've added the audio, so everyone got to hear and sing if they're paying, if they're watching us.
Let them know it's Hanukkah and feed
the world.
Let them know it's Kwanzaa time back home.
That's later. We need a Thanksgiving thing.
Is there any Thanksgiving songs?
No. Mm-mm. No. Nobody
probably
wants.
Probably better off.
I know.
Turkey,
you know,
turkey,
all,
turkey.
I know, but the funny thing is all the Thanksgiving stuff at grocery stores are always on end caps. They don't even get a full shelf. They get an end cap. That's it.
Ooh.
Sad.